All right, now so let's get started. So we're continuing Meretz Hashem on Hilchos Bishul. So what I'd like to try to actually do tonight is, so last week, I think we focused a bit more on kind of like the conceptual framework of Bishul. So tonight, I want to focus a little bit more on the different types of Kelim. Specifically in Halacha, Kli Rishon, a Kli Sheni, and a Kli Shlishi. And to analyze what each of those do in Halacha and how Halacha treats them. And again, hopefully, I got a little ambitious on the source sheet, but hopefully, time permitting, in Meretz Hashem, I might skip a couple of sources to get to the end, because it's very interesting to get yet. So let's begin with source number one, the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes, Kishim sha'asu levashal ba'ar, kach asu levashal batol b'sar. So we'll say it happens to be, in general, as I think you've already seen in Hilchos Shabbos, you know, you could lose yourself in the malacha for a very extended amount of time. So there's going to be a number of contents over here, that they're all important, but some of which we're just not going to really delve into all that much. So we're going to get into this a little bit. So the Shulchan Aruch says the same way that on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook with fire, you also can't cook with something called toldos or. What's toldos or? Toldos or means something heated by the fire. So for example, if you were to take a piece of metal, put the piece of metal on the fire, right? And then even if you remove that piece of metal, you can't cook on that piece of metal. That's called toldos or, something that received its heat from fire. Kigon litin beitza betzad kedera o l'shabra al sudah shulchan ba'ar kedesha titzla v'afilu betoldos chama. Now, interestingly enough, you're not even allowed on Shabbos, and again, not our topic, but let's say you have a piece of metal heated by the sun, or just an object heated by the sun, you're not allowed to use that either. Now, technically speaking, midaraisa, there's no problem going ahead and using something that's heated by the sun. Toldos or is not a problem. Toldos cham is not a problem. Chazal were concerned that if we allow you to use something that's heated by the sun, you'll come to use something that is heated by fire. Or to state it halachically, toldos chama is aser, lest you come to utilize toldos or. Okay, now why am I mentioning all of this to you? Ultimately, again, because now the takeaway from sources 1 and 2, and I'm going to do the Mishnah Berurah side, but the takeaway from sources 1 and 2 is that not only is one not allowed to cook with fire, but halacha l'maisa, one is not allowed to cook with something that is heated by fire as well. That's called toldos or. Now, the reason why this is important for us is because we can now understand the issue regarding a kli rishon. Because let's think about this in just a moment, right? A kli rishon. So let's just take a simple case. I'm cooking a pot of soup, right? So that pot is called the kli rishon. Now, there's another name for kli rishon. What else could we call it now based on what we just learned? What would you call it? Toldos or. So the pot in which you cook upon the fire essentially becomes in halacha called toldos or, something that is heated up by fire. So now, already, even before we go on, the reason why this is important is because the same way, just to illustrate a case, right? The same way, if you were to take a piece of metal, leave it on top of the fire, take the metal off. Can you crack an egg and cook an egg on it on Shabbos? No, it's aser. So again, now we understand why a pot, even once it's removed from the fire, still has the ability to be mevashel, still has the ability to cook, because a pot removed from the fire is effectively toldos or, an item heated up by fire, and therefore it has the ability to cook. So I'll say, so based on this, look at number 3, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kli Rishon. So I'll say, so it's interesting. So now you know there are really two different terms that you could use interchangeably for a Kli Rishon. It's either a Kli Rishon, right, which is the primary cooking utensil, or toldos or. It's the same thing. So Kli Rishon, afilu la'achar sheviruhu me'ala ish mevashal. Kli Rishon, even after you remove it from the fire, it has the ability to cook. It has the ability to cook. Calls man she'asol this one. Obviously, this isn't hocus pocus, right? The ability to cook, obviously, is a function of heat. So while it's true that an item, we'll say it's no different, by the way, right? If you were to go ahead and take a piece of metal, right? Leave it on the fire, then remove it. And now, again, it's cool enough that you could put your hand on it. Is there a problem putting an egg on it? Right? No. Why? Because when there's no temperature, no yasas, but it has the inability to cook. So the Shulchan Aruch over here says that Kli Rishon, as long as it is still yatzo ledespo, has the ability to cook, has the ability to be mevashel, because again, Kli Rishon that was taken off the fire is still called toldos or, still because something heated up by fire. Now, I just want to illustrate why this is incredibly important. Lefichach, aser litein lesocho tavlin. Therefore, you have to be careful about adding spices. So let me just give you a very simple case. right? You have your pot of chicken soup or your chont, whatever you want. You take it right to the chicken soup. I take it off the fire. Well, we take it off the blech because we're going to leave high. We haven't gotten to crock pots yet. I took it off the blech. And now again, I start serving it. And I see already it's a little bit bland. So what do I want to do? I happen to have some fresh pepper in my house. I figure, you know what? I'm going to pour it into the pot. Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to do that. You can't take something raw and introduce it into a kli rishon, even if the kli rishon has been removed from the fire. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Because a kli rishon is toldos ar has the ability to akibose. So this, I want to tell you, this happens all of the time, depending on what kind of salt you use even, right? Some people use processed salt, some people use unprocessed salt. You can't introduce unprocessed salt into a pot removed from the fire, because that pot is called Todos Ar, that is Kli Rishon, and Kli Rishon is Mevashal. So a very important halacha. Now again, obviously, all of this presupposes that the pot is Yatzol Adespo. Once you have a food item that loses its temperature of Yatzol Adespo, then what's the halacha? What's the halacha? No longer has the ability to affect any level of cooking. So obviously, a pot of food that's cooled down, you can introduce whatever you want into it because it's not going to be a problem. The Mishnah Berurah comments, and let's take a look at number four. So he writes number four, the second paragraph, Samech Dalid, Shayatzol Adespo, Avalim In Hayatzol Adespo. If the temperature has cooled down to the point that it's not Yatzol Adespo, Afilu Kli Rishon Eino Mevashal. So remember again, a Kli Rishon only cooks when it maintains the temperature of Yad Sol Adespo. So we started with Moshe last week, 110 degrees. Now, we'll say, there's one exception to this rule. What's the one exception to this rule? If the pot is on the fire, even technically, if it's not Yad Sol Adespo, you can't introduce anything into it. And this goes back to last week's discussion, that in general, when a pot's on the fire, you can't do anything. Now, that's true, except when you're allowed to do something. Meaning what? So, for example, I'll just give you coming attractions. It's not for now. I'll tell you a case that comes up, actually. I don't know frequently, infrequently, but it comes up enough to be mentioned. Right? You see your chalent is burning. You see your chalent is burning. But what's the problem? But the problem is that if you take the chalent out of the crock pot, you really run the risk that you won't be able to put it back on. So is there some type of heter to put water into the chalent? So clearly, again, it's mevushal kol tzarcho, fully cooked, right? And halacha lamaisa, again, right, there's no issue of cooking anything. In fact, just the opposite. I want to introduce liquid to prevent it from burning. So hold on to that. We'll talk about that case separately. But lamaisa, if the food is on the fire, you can't introduce anything. If the kli rishon is off the fire, if it's not Yatzol Adespo, no problem. Introduce whatever you want. If it is Yatzol Adespo, then it has the ability to cook. Why does it have the ability to cook? Toldos Ar. It is an item heated by fire and therefore attains the ability to be mevashal. Incredible. Okay, so we'll say, so this now leads us now to the second question, which is, what about Irui kli rishon? So remember again, so if kli rishon represents the contents in the actual initial pot itself, Irui represents the pouring. So I'll just give you a different example. So let's say again, now I have my soup. I know the soup needs some salt and pepper. So what am I going to do? Now again, this might sound like a little bit strange, but just for illustration purposes, I put the raw pepper in the bowl. So can I go ahead and pour the soup into that bowl? That's called Irui Kli Rishon. So what does Irui do? So here, if you look at number five, the Beis Yosef has a fascinating conversation about this. Beis Yosef writes, he says, V'kasu atosus sherashbam sober delo mitzar ela litin hatavlin l'socha kli rishon. Aval mutra litin hatavlin l'socha ka'ara velaros aleim kli rishon di irui di kli rishon eino ke kli rishon. So Tosus writes, Irui, which literally means the pouring of a kli rishon, that does not have the ability to affect cooking like the kli rishon itself. And therefore, again, Tosis holds that halacha lemaaseh, you could pour from a kli rishon even onto a totally raw item, and it's fine. Not going to cause any kind of problem. Now, v'ri oser, v'iroi ki kli rishon. The ri disagrees, and the ri holds. The ri says that halacha lemaaseh, that's not true. The ri holds that irui is like kli rishon. That pouring from the kli rishon is like a kli rishon itself. V'harosh. So again, he quotes over here a whole machlokes, Shapir Shashi di Irui Kli Rishon, Shinu Mishon. So we'll say, so the point over here is machlokes. So again, just so you understand over here what's happening. So we have Eish, Ish, fire. Anything happening over a fire is going to be aser. Fine. We have Kli Rishon, which is effectively told us are, which has the ability to also cook as long as it's Yatzol Adesbo. What about when you pour from the Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni? Or, let me leave that Kli Sheni. You pour from a Kli Rishon. Does that porridge, not P-O-R-R-I-D-G-E, right, but P-O-U-R-A-G-E, does that porridge, right, does that porridge have the ability to affect Bishul or not? Machlokes. I'm sorry?
If it's
not Yatzol Adesbo, so everyone agrees nothing's happening. If it is Yatzol Adesbo, does it have the ability to create Bishul or not? That's the Machlokes. Take a look at number six. So the Shulchan Aruch passes. Now, we'll say, now, obviously, I just want to point out, in these machloks, and there's a lot of lamdas, right, that goes in. So, again, we're skipping that a little bit to kind of get to move forward. So take a look at number six. Shulchan Aruch writes, Asur, li tein tavlin b'ka'ara, v'la'aros alein mikli rishon. So we'll say the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and this is actually a very interesting halacha. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that halacha l'maisa, irui kli rishon, that which you pour from a kli rishon, has the same status as Kli Rishon itself. Same status as Kli Rishon itself. So let me give you a good example of this. I was trying to think of a good example of this, of something that maybe like raw that you would put into a soup bowl before you pour.
Teabag.
Oh, so I'm purposely not going teabags, right? Because teabags, I'm saving. I'm building up to that, right? We're going to get to that. Correct. That's going to be our ultimate. But like, see, because, so, sorry? Yeah, so, you know, maybe you put, I'm sorry?
Instant soup. Soup powder.
Yes, soup powder, instant soup, right, good. I was thinking more like a Shabbistic example, right? But the truth is, what I really want to talk about is like croutons or things like that. But the issue just is that that's actually a separate halachic discussion, which we're going to touch on as well. So just to illustrate this, so let's just go. Don't hold me to the culinary accuracy of this. Just illustrative accuracy of this, right? So I'm serving soup, and I like to put a slice of fresh celery inside of the soup. It's a garnish or whatever. Parsley. Oh, parsley. Good. Fresh parsley in the soup. I could actually be shayach, no? Okay. Well, asking a menshir what's going to be shayach. All right, fine. All right, but that could be shayach. So I'm putting fresh parsley in the bowl. And again, let's assume right now I'm not using a ladle, right? Because a ladle is going to create another halachic dam, which we'll discuss. So I'm literally pouring off from the bowl, from the pot, into the bowl. So can I do this? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you may not. That is aser. Assuming that, again, the soup is yatzol adesbo, you can't do that. Why? Because iri kli rishon, that which you pour from the kli rishon, which remember, kli rishon, another name for kli rishon is taldos ar. So that, again, has the ability to cook, and therefore the porridge also has the ability to cook. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can't do it. Now.
What about oatmeal?
I'm sorry?
Oatmeal. Instant oatmeal.
See, instant oatmeal usually, I believe, is still cooked. I believe it's cooked and then freeze-dried. Spray-dried, I think. No? Is it raw? Yeah, right. If it's instant, it must have been pre-cooked. It's kind of like instant coffee. Like, instant coffee is spray-dried. In other words, they have, like, this whole spray-dryer machines where essentially, whatever. Well, I'm sorry? The soup mix could be the same thing. That's why, again, for our illustrative purposes, Daf going to use something that's raw, something that's clearly raw. Now, here's what's interesting. Yes?
I always wondered, I had heard this a long time ago about coffee being freeze-dried and starting to cook. Then why do you have to have...
Oh, good. Hold on. We're gonna see all of this. First of all, whether or not you have to or not, we're gonna see. I'm building up to that. Coffee. We're gonna get coffee and tea. No, it doesn't sound so exciting, but it actually is very exciting in Hilchos Shabbos. So take a look at number seven. It's interesting. Where did we do coffee? Oh, we did coffee by Borer. We did coffee by Borer, by the pour over. Okay, fine. So we'll come back to coffee now by Bishul and Miras Hashem. So take a look at number seven. So the Magen Avraham writes something very interesting. So whereas the Shulchan Aruch is passing that Irui, pouring from a Kli Rishon, absolutely cooks. The Magen Avraham comes along and says, Vim Ira, Azai HaKlipa Asura, Denisbash La B'Shabbos, Rabbeinu Tam Daik Me'a Mishnah. Listen to this. Now, the Magen Avraham will say, the way it works, the way Hilchos Bishul works is in a very intuitive model, which is the more you get away from the source, right? The more diminished the bishul capacity becomes, right? So fire is most powerful. After fire, kli rishon, which is told us are. After kli rishon, irei kli rishon, the porridge. But obviously, the further you remove, the less your ability to cook. The Magen Avraham says, when we say that irui, that pouring, has the ability to cook, irui doesn't have the ability to affect a comprehensive cooking process. What it does do is it has the ability to affect what we call cooking kidei klipa. It cooks, but only an outer surface. So it's not hot enough to affect comprehensive cooking, but cooks only what we call the kidei klipa. Now, how much is the kidei klipa? Right, what is it? How much? The top piece, not the top. So again, that level of specificity, we're not going to get into right now. But suffice it to say that halacha lemaisa, it works for kidei klipa. So again, it doesn't affect a comprehensive cooking, only the outer layer of the food. Now, I will say, the reason why this is incredibly important is, therefore, so now, just so you follow the progression, right? So it's a home achlokis as to whether or not Irui in general is mevashal. So we're going to go with the idea that Irui is mevashal. But now the Magen Avraham says, Irui only does bishul what? Kidei klipa. Now we'll say, watch this. Kidei klipa, the post can bring down, only applies to solids. Kidei klipa doesn't apply to liquids, which makes sense. Why does that make sense? Liquid is an amorphous entity, right? It's kind of like it's just moving around. There's no klipa, right? By a piece, right? You pour soup onto a raw vegetable. There's a clear klipa that's there, right? There's a clear outer surface that's there. So we'll say, so therefore, halacha lemaisa, when we say that irui kli rishon is mevashal, irui kli rishon is only mevashal for solids and not for liquids. I want to tell you, so you'll say, wow, that's really exciting. Let me tell you why it is exciting. Shabbos, I'll tell you where this could come up. It does come up. So for example, let's say you have very cold water. I'll tell you where this comes up all the time. You want to make a bottle for a baby. So again, you want to have lukewarm water. So what's the problem very often that you have in your house on Shabbos, right? You have cold water from the tap and hot water from the urn. So neither of which are going to be good for a bottle. So what do I want to do? I'm in this parish again with grandchildren. I thought I was done with it. That's right. So now what do? So now that my shayla is, can I take the cold water and go ahead and pour from the urn into the bottle? So again, obviously, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. If I take from the urn, put it into another cup, pour from that cup into the cold water, then okay, we'll get to that. That's obvious that it's okay. I want to put the bottle with the cold water right under the urn. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos or not? So Rabbi said, the halacha is, it's mutter. Now, there's a caveat. What's the caveat? I'm sorry? Well, the urn is not really considered to be an agave esh. An urn is considered to be an esh mechusa. Really, considered to be an esh mechusa. Otherwise, you really wouldn't be able to use it all that much. So again, let's presuppose that an urn, I'm talking about like a plug-in urn, not like a kumkum or something that you put on top of the blech. Hey, let's assume for a moment that that's an esh mechusa. So technically speaking, you could pour hot water right into that bottle of cold water. Now, what's the caveat? The caveat is that you're not putting in enough hot water to make the bottle yatzaleh desbo. Right? Because obviously, if you're pouring in that amount of hot water, then halacha lemaisa, again, that's bishul. That's going to be bishul, right? That's going to be irui kli rishon, heating up, which is not your intention anyway. You're trying to get it lukewarm.
There's no klipa in the cool water.
So that's the point. Therefore, it's mutter. Now, if you were to pour... Now, because if you pour in enough to actually go ahead and make it yatzaleh desbo, then halacha lemaisa, again, you've affected an act of bishul. It's impossible to ignore that. But on just plain klipa, because liquid has no klipa, see, even though, again, I'm definitely raising the temperature of the water, but lemaisa, again, there's no klipa, and therefore it'd be mutter. Just an interesting case, I think, that comes up not so infrequently for a variety of different reasons. Okay, fine. Shabbos says, so that's kli rishon. So, right, so just the kind of folks, what we have fire. We have the utensil that is used for cooking on top of the fire, called toldos or, also called kli rishon. Kli rishon has the ability to cook even off the fire. Therefore, as long as the kli rishon is yatzaleh desbo, you cannot introduce anything raw into that kli rishon, even if it is off the fire. Iri kli rishon, what about when you pour from the kli rishon onto something? We paskin, iri kli rishon has the ability to be mavashal, has the ability to affect the cooking process. However, what level of cooking? Only kedei klipa. And therefore, again, because it's only kedei klipa, therefore only in solids, not in liquids. Okay, that's our first piece, our first two pieces. Kli rishon and iri kli rishon. Next, kli sheni. Take a look at number 8. So the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos has a whole discussion over here. I'm just giving you the punchline. The Gemara says, Shema mina, kli sheni eino mevashal. A kli sheni doesn't have the ability to affect bishul. Right? There's no bishul. And I will say, I just want to point out, so what that means is, so just for example, just keeping with our same example over here, I have a pot of soup, pot was on the fire, I poured off from the pot into a bowl, right? Pot is kli rishon, bowl is kli sheni. So now I have fresh pepper that I ground before Shabbos, I'm allowed to put that in my bowl of soup. Because the kli sheni does not go ahead and affect any level of bishul. Now, yes.
That's a halacha concept, but that's not reality, right?
I guess it depends how you define your reality.
If you're taking it,
yes. Absolutely. I'm gonna come to this concept in just a moment. That Hilchos Bishul does need not conform with scientific reality. Hilchos Bishul is predicated upon certain concepts that the halacha recognizes as correct and absolute truths that may or may not mirror whatever science says. Absolutely. By the way, once you accept that reality, it's actually much more helpful to learn Hilchos Bishul. Yes?
So, kli rishon becomes a kli sheni after you pour it out. So there's the iroi and then there's the kli sheni.
Correct.
So if I put a ladle into a kli rishon.
So the short answer to that is yes and no. Right? Meaning what? So Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosah. Actually, I don't know why I didn't include it in this shir, so let's talk this out for just a second. So it would appear that a ladle should be a kli sheni, and therefore, by definition, your bowl should really be a kli shlishi. And again, we'll get to kli shlishi in just a little bit. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosah says, here's the problem. A lot of times, people leave the ladle inside of the supat. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosah posits that leaving the ladle inside the supat for an extended amount of time essentially makes the ladle into a kli rishon. It loses its kli, which again, and the logic is, since you've left it in there all of this time, it's lost its identity as a kli sheni. So that's why, by the way, some are makbid to dafka leave the ladle out. Now, you know, it goes both ways, because if you're leaving the ladle out, you also have to be careful when reinserting it to take more soup that it's clean and dry, especially if anything on the residue has cooled off. So technically, if you are leaving you're scooping and then leaving it out, the ladle will act as the kli sheni and the bowl will be the kli shlishi. Absolutely. Absolutely, that'll work. Leaving the ladle inside can make the ladle into a kli rishon. In which case?
So when you're putting the ladle into the bowl is kli rishon. There's no iroi of it. There's no pouring phase.
Well, no, it would be. It just depends on what the ladle is. If the ladle is considered to be a kli rishon, then pouring from the ladle into the bowl will be iroi kli rishon. If the ladle is a kli sheni, then the iroi will be a kli iroi kli sheni. I'll tell you why. You're assuming that in order for a kli sheni to occur, there has to have been an iroi from a kli rishon. That is not necessarily the case. In order for a kli sheni to occur, contents from a kli rishon have to be transferred to a secondary kli. Whether they were transferred through pouring or through taking, the halacha doesn't seem to differentiate. If the kli sheni has not been kept inside of the pot, then it is iroi kli sheni. Well, we have a guy. Let's first do kli sheni. Then we'll get to iroi in just a second. So first of all, the Gemara in number 8, Gemara Masechet Shabbos says Shema mino kli sheni eino mevashal. See, the Shulchan Aruch writes that kli sheni, a secondary kli, does not affect bishul. Okay, so Tosfos comments on this. So Tosfos is intrigued by this, and Reb Chaim, this kind of goes to your point. Tosis is just bothered like b'metzias. I don't understand. If you say that Kli Rishon is Mevashel, then literally, again, I'm taking food. It's the same exact temperature as the food in the Kli Rishon. I'm transferring it to a different Kli. So suddenly, not because it's in a different utensil, suddenly it doesn't cook. It just doesn't seem to make sense. Look what Tosfos writes. It's actually very interesting, Tosfos. He writes in the Maran, he says, Shema Bina, Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel, Tema. Maishna Kli Sheni Mi Kli Rishon. So Tosfos asks, why is the Kli Sheni different than the Kli Rishon? He says, Di'i yad soledes afilu Kli Sheni nami. V'ein yad soledes afilu Kli Rishon nami eino mevashel. Tosfos is coming from the vantage point that, one second, isn't this all about temperature? Right? Isn't it all about temperature? In other words, if it's yad soledes bo, then bishul could occur. If it's not yad soledes bo, then bishul can't occur. Isn't that the totality of this discussion? Mm-hmm. So he says something very interesting. V'yesh lomar, lefi shekli rishon mitoch sha'amat al ha'ar, dofnosov chamin umachzik chomo zman meruba. Here's the difference. A kli rishon, because it was in the actual fire, therefore what? Not only did the contents get heated up, but the walls of the utensil got heated up as well, and the walls retain the heat. Ulekach, Nosnu boshir, the chosman shayat soledes bo aser, ava klishini, afa gav the yat soledes bo mutter, shein dofnos of chamin beholechu miskarer. So Tosfos essentially says that a kli rishon has two unique features, which are really they're interconnected. So number one, because the heat is retained by the walls are heated up, the heat is retained by the walls, and therefore again, machzichomo, the heat in the food is retained as well. Even though temperature-wise, it might look the same, there's a greater intensity. Kli sheni, you may have the temperature in the food, but what don't you have? What don't you have? You don't have the heat retention in the walls of the utensil. So Tosfos posits that in order for bishul to really occur, two things have to be in place. The heat of the food item and the heat of the kli. If you're missing either one of those items, bishul can't occur. Therefore, Tosfos posits in every single kli sheni, even if you have the heat of the item, you're lacking the heat intensity of the kli, and that's why kli sheni is not mevashel, which is fascinating. I will say, now, we're going to see some problems with this theory, right? So, for example, some problems with this theory will be that sometimes you could have a solid piece of food that cooks, right? Without a kli at all. But okay, when we get to that, we'll deal with that issue. I would say, but this is a very important Tosfos because he realized the fun. See, it's a new dimension in bishul. That bishul is, see, we've thought this entire time that it's all about temperature. Yeah, so let this bow. No, it's about temperature of the food plus heat retention of the kli. Kli sheni might have temperature of the food, but because it doesn't have kli heat retention of the kli, therefore again, the kli itself is not mevashel. By definition, correct. Even though halachically, Reb Chaim was saying before, scientifically, the temperature is the same. Correct. That is correct. That is correct. And even if you want to say there's some level of maintenance, from a halachic perspective, the intensity is not the same. And because of that, bishul on a halachic level doesn't occur.
Don't you need to say that it is the walls of the klisheni start pulling it off? Otherwise, what would be the difference between Iroi klirishon?
Because Iroi Kli Rishon is still coming with the heat of the Defanos. Right? In other words, the porridge is still the result of the heat of the food item plus the heat of the walls. Kli Sheni just doesn't have wall heat, doesn't have utensil heat. So because of that, by definition, it's just a different animal.
It's not even saying that the walls of Kli Sheni start cooling it off already.
Yeah, so in other words, I'm abstaining from using the lashon of cooling it off because it's not what Tosfos says. Last line, number nine, you're right. Right, by definition, since there's no wall heat and no wall retention, wall heat retention, therefore by definition it begins to cool it off. Right? And therefore, even though the chiddush is, even though the food is still yatzal ledes bo, bishul can't occur inside of a kli sheni. Okay, fascinating. So what I say? So let me show you a couple of other pieces over here. Take a look at number ten. Now, again, I will say, it says kol shekein be kli sheni, kol shekein mikri kishiro min a kli rishon, kishiro min a kli rishon sheir sichu acham besochol, so kli zeh Okay, actually, you know, we'll just leave that on the side right now. So therefore, based on what we've said, this is a relatively straightforward halacha. Kli sheni is not mevashel. So therefore, again, we'll say you can plug this in however you want to plug it in, right? So you go ahead and you pour your bowl of soup, even if I'm not using a ladle, right? I'm just pouring directly from the pot into the bowl. So now again, pot is kli rishon, bowl is kli sheni. I can introduce spices, now even raw spices, into that bowl of soup because a kli sheni is not mevashel. Yeah, because otherwise it would be iri kli rishon. Correct, correct. So you'd have to put the spices in afterwards. Correct. Now, I do want to point out, although we're not going to get too into it right now, there is an exception to this rule. In other words, there is a category of food items that can be cooked in a kli sheni. That category is called kale habishal. Items that are very easily cooked are cooked even in a kli sheni. Take a look at number 11. So Shulchan Aruch writes, Vim hudavar yavesh lo nisbashal lefnei HaShabbos, ein shon oso b'chamin b'Shabbos, aval madichon oso b'chamin b'Shabbos, chutz min hamaliach hayashon o min hadag shenikra kol yos haspanin, she'inam tzrichin bishal ela ma'at. So here the Shulchan Aruch introduces this idea that there are certain food items that are very easily cooked, quickly cooked. And because they're easily and quickly cooked, therefore halacha l'maisa, they could be cooked even in a kli sheni. The example that the Shulchan Aruch gives is fish, right? Maliach hayashim is something that's salted and preserved, but ultimately it's not salted and preserved. Fish, these items are cooked very quickly. They're cooked very quickly, and therefore they could be cooked even in a kli sheni. So it's interesting in general to go ahead and see what exactly is included in this category. If you look at number 13, the Ber Halacha says, V'kol yos haspanin, v'lav dafka elu, he says, so it's interesting, the way the Ber Halacha understands it over here is, what falls into this category of Kali Abishal? What falls into this category? He holds anything that's very thin and easily cooked. If it's thin and easily cooked, therefore, again, it falls into the category of Kali Abishal. So it's interesting to see, just in general, like the poskim have a lot of different ideas about this. The Ran, for example, brings down that eggs are kali habishal. Okay, so again, different poems can bring in different ideas. I will say, but where this leads us in a very interesting. I'm sorry, spices. So that's why I was hesitant ever to use the case of spices, because according to many poskim, spices do fall into the category of kali habishal as well. So like I said, it's hard to give an objective category of kali habishal. So a person just has to know something that's more easily cooked versus something that takes a little bit more time to cook. Easily cooked items would be prohibited to introduce even into a kli sheni. Okay, so there's another interesting example of this. Let me just tell you this outside for just a second. We haven't gotten to this yet, but I'm just going to mention it now, and then we'll come back to it later on. Which is, in general, there's the concept, we didn't discuss this, of bishul achar bishul. Right? In general, once something is cooked, could it be subject to a secondary cooking process? So in general, the way we hold is that halacha l'maisa, once an object has been cooked, ain't bishul achar bishul. So once an item has been cooked, even if it fully cools down, halacha l'maisa is no longer subject to bishul. Now, the general consensus is that applies to a davar gush, that applies to solids. It doesn't apply to liquids. That if you have a liquid and the liquid cooled down, the liquid itself becomes subject to bishul once again. Okay. Now, there's an interesting discussion. What about, do we say, yesh bishul achar afia, or yesh afia achar bishul? So, in other words, let's say something was baked. Something was baked. Could a baked item become subject to bishul or not? Right? Because if you think about it, on one hand, baked is also a form of cooked. Remember, says when we started this halacha, remember again, the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos never mentions the word bishul, right? Afia, ofa. So do we say kind of cooked is cooked? We don't really care what type of cooking process you've undergone. Cooked is cooked. Or no, maybe just because you've undergone one type of cooking process doesn't mean that you can't be subject to another. So for example, we'll say, and by the way, this is a very big halacha. So for example, you have croutons. Croutons were baked. Can you introduce croutons into a kli sheni? Well, we'll talk. In other words, are croutons going to be subject to bishul or not? So take a look very quickly at number 14. He writes over here, yesh mi sha'omer de davar. Something that was baked or something that was roasted. Im bishlo achakach b'mashka yesh bo mishum bishul Va'asr litein pas afilo b'kli sheni shayat sola despo v'yesh matirin. So we'll say, so the Shulchan Aruch says it's machlokas. So some say that if you have a baked item, you cannot introduce that into hot liquid. Even if the hot liquid is in a klisheni, if the hot liquid is yatzol adespo. If the liquid is yatzol adespo, and I will say, now remember again, but one second, we said that klisheni is not mevashal, right? So klisheni is not mevashal. What? Klisheni is not mevashal in a general sense, but halacha lemaisa, if halacha lemaisa, again, something that was baked, potentially could become cooked in a klisheni. So another, a chumra of klisheni. But yet, there are those who are matirit. Hagah beklisheni, sorry, v'yesh matir meklisheni. V'yesh makil and afilo bekli rishon. V'nagu lizara lechatchila shelo litein pas afilo beklisheni kolz ma sheyasu ledesbo. So Rabbi say, this is really interesting. The Rama says that we are noeg to be machmir, not to put bread in a klisheni as long as it is hot. Yatzol adespo. So Rabbi said, what this would mean is, according to the Rama, if you, let's assume right now you're pouring your soup into your bowl, so soup is the klisheni, bowl is the klisheni, the Rama would say, you should not dip your challah into your soup when the soup is yatzol adespo. Right, it happens all the time. You get your soup, it's too hot, but you're hungry. So you dip a little challah in it. Yeah. So the Rama seems to say that halacha lemaisa, one should not do this. Now, remember, the situation is very easily alleviatable. Right? How is it alleviatable? Is that a word, alleviatable?
No.
No, okay. very easily alleviatable. How is it easily, how can you do it? Right, wait for it to cool down. That's assuming you have patience. We're Jewish. Come on, right? Ladle, right? So again, remember all of this, right? Ladle, right? Because then again, if you're using the ladle in the right way, so then again, remember by the time it gets to your bowl, it's a klishlishi. And if that's the case, again, we haven't seen it explicitly yet, but halacha l'maisa again. There's not going to be any level of bishul and a klish lishi. So here it's interesting. I just want to point out that the Rama is of the opinion that one should not put a baked item in a klishini of hot liquid out of the concern of yesh bishul achar afia. Now the Mishnah Berurah comments over here. He says, look in source number 15, paragraph memhei. He says, v'nogu lizar, perish she'in nosnim lechem b'marak shalat cholent b'ka'ara, shukli sheni, v'kol shekein shelo la'aros aleh mikli rishon. So the Mishnah Berurah says, so one should be careful. He's talking about over here of dipping bread into cholent, right? You don't have enough carbs in cholent, so you need mamish, right? So right, we want to put in the bread. So let's say, seeing over here, so remember, we're assuming over here, just the assumption they're always working with is, you're pouring off the cholent from the kli rishon into the bowl. So the bowl is the kli sheni, and therefore, again, the Mishnah Berurah says over here, you want to dip your bread into the cholent. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it is better to avoid that. So you can't pour the cholent onto the bread because that's irei kli rishon. Now he brings down another case over here. Osam shechotchin habitzalim v'nosna soch hamarak b'kara lo yasimu rak achar shlo tiyeh yasol eves. So now he's jumping to another case. His other case over here is, interestingly enough, where I'm cutting onions, raw onions, and putting it into the bowl of soup, the pot of soup. So he says, that you certainly can't do, unless, of course, what? The soup is below yad sola despo. Debalechem yesh kula machman shenef akvar, vafilu hakin nizarin koshkem v'tzom shetrach lizar, ki ein ono bikin b'midei demikri rachach. Vafilu em yamtin, so okay, so therefore both say, so bottom line, interestingly enough, the halacha seems to indicate that one should be machmir with placing a baked item into a klisheni. So it's interesting that as much as we said before that a klisheni is not mevashal, so again, interestingly enough, there's still this chumrah of not putting a baked item into a hot klisheni. Again, it's fast, like there's a lot of lumdus with it. The logic doesn't really seem to shtim as well, because technically speaking, we were saying that you should be able even to put something raw, right? I could put raw unprocessed spices into my klisheni. If I could do that, then why can't I go out and put a piece of bread in it? Again, so the point is that I'm not saying you should be machmir. Why should you be machmir? Because it's a machlokas. So because it's a machlokas, therefore, again, just best to avoid the situation in totality. Again, if one did it, fine. You know, you could go ahead and eat it.
Specifically on baked items, not raw.
That's what's fascinating about this, right? It's dafka on baked items, not on raw items, which is really quite fascinating. Now, again, there could be that there's a chumrah by raw items, there's a chumrah for everything. But right, but he's focusing over here on dafka baked items. Really interesting.
And then the Shabura in Tzitkot and Membeis, he says, "Bring shame raf."
Right.
So like a hard crouton made out of bread.
Unless he's saying that in general, something that's baked is halachically considered to be like rach. It's something that's easily considered to be very influenceable by a bishul process. That seems to be the definition of rach. I don't think it's a din in softness. I think it's a din on being overtaken. Like, you know, you go out and you take a hard crouton and you put it into soup, and within a couple of moments, it's mush. It's mush. So you see that obviously, again, that act of afia, even though it created a hardened item, is very easily eclipsed by a bishul process. I think. So we'll say, so this, okay, we're not going to get to it tonight, but obviously what this goes ahead and, so just to appreciate kind of where the kulas of a klishen. So remember again, the chumrah over here is potentially putting in a baked item into this, putting a baked item into a klisheni. One of the interesting parts that comes up, one of the interesting kudos is, as much as we said before, that yesh bishel achar bishel bayadavar lachshin etztanin, right? That if you have a liquid that cooled down, it is once again subject to bishel. That is not true in a klisheni. So for example, if you were to make coffee in a klisheni, now whether or not you're allowed to make coffee in a klisheni, we'll discuss next week in Meretz Hashem, or 2 weeks in Meretz Hashem. But assuming that you're able to go ahead and make coffee in a klisheni, can you put cold milk into your piping hot coffee? So the answer is going to be yes, right? Based on what we learned, because halacha lemaisa, a klisheni is not mevashal, and therefore, again, as long as you have a liquid. Now, again, if you really like to go, you know, all natural, and you're taking your milk directly from the cow, you can't squeeze that into your coffee, right? Because probably on a variety of reasons, right? But lemaisa, at least from a hilchos Shabbos perspective, you can't do that because that's not a cooked liquid, and therefore, technically speaking, we would be knowing to be a little bit more machmir at that. But milk is pasteurized, so because milk is pasteurized, that's an act of cooking, and therefore halacha lemaisa, technically speaking, you could take your cold milk and introduce it into your hot coffee, and there's no bishul achar bishul. All right, so we'll stop over here for tonight with this. Again, we'll see in Meretz Hashem coming attractions. What we didn't get to do tonight is tea is the next big topic. Tea leaves and tea bags. And Meretz Hashem, we'll see that there's overlap, but there's also differences. We'll see the interesting Mishneh Berurah. We'll see Rav Moshe. And Meretz Hashem, we will cover that in our next shir. Meretz Hashem. Rosai, Shkoyach.
So clearly Rishon al Ha'esh. For some reason, if the Esh was removed, only have a blech.